Genesis chapter 1. Just a starting point. Learning today to earnestly contend for the faith and talking about about evolution and creation. And in Genesis 1:1, it says, "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth." And that's the start of the Bible. It starts off with that. I mean, the very foundation of the whole book starts off with, "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth." That's the first thing in the Bible. And a certain question obviously asks itself here is this true or is it not? If you start off a book and the first part, the first sentence in the book is a lie, and that's what evolution is saying, then we've got big issues. Then the book is not to be trusted. However, if that verse there is true, then pure Darwinian evolution cannot be true. They're mutually exclusive. God could not have created the universe, as the Bible says, and we came from amoebas. Those both can't be true. Either the Bible is not true or the theory of evolution is not true. And by the way, the theory of evolution is not the fact of evolution. And so is it true or is it a lie? It is in opposition to the Bible. And let me take you to 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6. We'll talk a little bit about just some... We'll talk about some science over the next few weeks. Next week, we'll be more into science the week after that. We'll talk about that today some. And 1 Timothy chapter 6... And it says in verse 20, it says, "O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust, avoiding profane and vain babbling," so avoid talking about foolish things and things that don't honor God, "and oppositions of science falsely so called." One of the things that's always amazed me is the Bible, as I've learned it, and began in the Bible as a teenager. I've been amazed how God always was ready for the future when it came and talked about it in the Bible. And talk about oppositions of science falsely so-called. One of the humorous things about history is every generation thinks that their science is infallible. No matter what generation that is. Every generation thinks they have figured it out, and you are an imbecile if you challenge their well-known established science. If you debated in the 1700s about bleeding people, they just laughed at you and said, "Oh, you just don't know the modern science." If you debated the earth was flat when the Bible said in Isaiah that it's the globe, the circle of the earth, you were called an imbecile. There's always, every generation of science always thinks they know everything. It's an amazing thing. And then 30 years later, you laugh at the science of 30 years ago. And as I've talked to people about medical things, I'm amazed how that they'll think that they talk to a doctor and the doctor knows and it's a fact, and then they'll talk to a second doctor. And the second doctor says something completely different. And they go, "I thought this was established science." But it wasn't. And every generation thinks that. And this talks about science falsely so-called. And we see, of course, if you read a lot and pay attention a lot, you see science all the time saying, "This does not go along with the theory. This changes all because they were sure that these creatures evolved at this time." I remember just a kid thinking when Mount St. Helens blew up in 1980 and being a kid here in the area and they said there will be no life on Mount St. Helens for 100 years. Nothing will grow back because there's 30 feet of molten hot ash and it's just destroyed everything. And of course, within 10 years, there was deer and grass and everything else on there, and it's full of wildlife now. But I remember they had an island that came out of the water and they filmed it being formed. And they said in about 100 years, they'll begin to have things growing in this island. Eventually, something will bring a seed to this island, and eventually, it'll have something. And I think it was 4 years later, there had grass growing in the island. And, of course, they have so many theories, and they're experts and geniuses. They always know this stuff. The Bible says that there's a science falsely so-called. Parts of evolution, the theory of evolution, are true. Adaptation is true. There's little bits of microevolution where things adapt to things, and that's certainly true. But the leap of faith then that they take is not true. And we'll get into that in a couple weeks a lot. But most of us just accepted evolution. I didn't grow up learning creation. I learned evolution. And by the way, all of us learn evolution. You can go to Christian school. You can be homeschooled. You can do anything you want. You're going to hear evolution all the time. You're going to hear it. If you watch a Discovery Channel on the beauty of tigers, you're going to learn about evolution. We get evolution implanted us day and night. We hear it in the radio. We hear it in entertainment. It's because it's taught so much. We pretty much consistently, pretty much 100%, if we challenge evolution, when we go, and this is my case, I didn't learn anything about creation until I was probably 17. At that point, I believed in evolution. And most of you grew up with evolution, and most of you believe in evolution. Pretty much 100%, unless somebody is just a fanatically staunch anti-God person, and those people, you're not going to convince. Pretty much 100% of the time, when we are able to challenge evolution, because you're not allowed to challenge it in schools, 100% of the time, people believe in creation. That's what we found. We found that very consistently. If we'll just show a few videos that just show the fallacy of evolution and challenge it. You know, the amazing thing right now, people with it who want to teach intelligent design, and it is not allowed to be taught. The funniest thing about that, and I laugh at it, intelligent design is not an idea, it's not a concept, it's nothing else, it's a question. They want to ask in the schools, and they want to be able to ask when they teach evolution, could there be a designer? That's all it is asking a question. You cannot ask a question. This is science. You cannot ask a question. That's literally what they do. But when people get to challenge evolution, see, a lot of people believe in evolution and say, of course evolution is true. We have all the facts. We got the bones. We got the this. We got the that. And then you just say, well, let me show you some things. And their jaw drops. And a whole bunch of you in this room, and I was asking people over the last couple months, I was just asking people, I said, what'd you do when you heard evolution challenged? And the reaction was usually, I was furious. That was, they're angry. I cannot believe that there are so many facts and problems, scientific problems, not Bible problems, scientific problems of evolution, and I cannot believe no one ever showed that point of view. Most of the people were mad. Very smart people with degrees and very smart people in our church who are very successful. They're very mad. Now me, if you know me, I laugh at everything. I thought it was funny. I thought, oh my soul, how did I not see that when I was taught that? And I laughed at it. I thought, oh my soul, duh. And it was kind of humorous. And the one thing I'll teach today is probably the thing that just made me laugh at the theory of evolution, of pure Darwinian evolution. Again, we understand you take a bunny from Florida and you put it in Alaska and breed it for 10 generations, it's going to have longer fur. Okay, it's going to adapt. That's in its DNA code. But the bunny will not become a tiger, because it's not in its DNA code to become a tiger, okay? We understand that there's adaptation. Sure there is, of course. Your pigment, the pigment in your skin will change if you live in a certain climate for long enough and generation after generation. That's in your DNA code to do that. You were designed to do that. But most people get mad. A lot of people are completely stunned that there's so many major scientific flaws in evolution because they're never taught that. And a college professor will say, that's ridiculous. Evolution's a fact. It's proven in every single way. And you'll say, when were you shown creation science? I don't need to. It's petty. It's ridiculous. There's no science there. It's not even science. Just the Bible. When were you shown it? So they're totally brainwashed, the same as a person who's brainwashed who believes that they blow themselves up in a crowd of children, they get to go to be with Allah. They've never heard an alternative point of view. We have. We heard evolution our whole life, and we don't believe it. Why does it matter then? Why does it matter, Pastor, if someone believes we came from amoebas or we came from God and we're special creatures? Why does that matter? It does matter a great deal. The opposition of science so-called, falsely so-called, the reason is there's several reasons because the implications of creation and evolution. I want to give you some reasons here. If you go to Romans 1, why does it matter? And today I want to focus a little bit on why it matters whether creation or evolution is true. And Romans chapter 1, we see its opposition to the Bible. First of all, its opposition of science, falsely so-called. You need to be able to defend this nowadays because it's very, very important. In Romans chapter 1 and verse 25, the first reason it matters is because the theory of evolution gives glory to the creature, not the creator. Romans chapter 1, and we'll try to go fast on these things. First of all, it says in verse 25, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the creator, who is blessed forever. Listen, if Darwinian evolution is true, a bunch of mud, or actually nothing, formed into a planet that first of all, is nothing, and zero times zero for one time in history, became one, and there was matter all of a sudden out of nothing. And by the way, it's really funny when you actually are able to not say, he's a genius, wow, and read it with a clear mind. It's really pretty funny. I remember reading, who is the guy who sits in the wheelchair, can't talk, and really brilliant astrophysicist? Hawkins. I remember reading his book, and I remember I was roaring. My wife was like, what is so funny in there? I said, I'm reading this book about a short history of time, and it's hilarious. And I remember in his book, it said, well, where did this matter come from? He said, well, for one time in history, and it was hilarious, it was an older copy. He changes in his later copies, but an older copy, it said this. It said, it was a miracle, and for one time in history, zero times zero equaled one. I just was roaring at the whole thing. They said, we're living by faith. Oh, it was great. And I sat there, and so nothing became something. It blew up. Now, usually when things explode, they don't become orderly and nice and everything like that. If you take a pumpkin from Halloween, you put a bomb in it, and you blow it up, it's not going to become something more nice and complicated. That's pretty logical, but let's pretend you blew up the pumpkin, and a pumpkin became a bunch of little, tiny, beautiful things with little pieces swirling around them. And it's amazing the way that worked. And and then on one of those little things where it's swirling around and floating around, suddenly there was rocks, and off those rocks dropped a bunch of matter, and thousands of little proteins came together in a little line, a little DNA strand. They hooked together in an order that was so incredibly perfect that it made life, and not only did it make that life, when they actually came together and those thousands of proteins hooked together in a perfect design digital order, but they came together and they became life, not only life, but life that was designed and programmed to reproduce itself. See, if it didn't have that programmed into it, that first critter would have died and we wouldn't have had no life. And then that critter, he decided one day, I want to walk. And boom, there come a little leg out of him. And then another leg and another leg. And then he said, you know, I would like to fly. And eventually the little critter's ancestors flew. And eventually they said, I'd like to be smarter. And so their brain got bigger and bigger, all by random mutation and accident. And pretty soon here is Beethoven. And if that theory is true, can I tell you, there is glory to the creature, not the creator. Okay, that's an amazing bunch of accidents, and that little thing had a lot of goodwill. And you know what? Listen, I would love to have a tail. Wouldn't tails be cool to have? I could carry groceries in both hands and close the door behind me. I mean, it would be awesome. I could work on something, my car with both hands, and grab a wrench with my tail and bring it up here. You know what? I'm going to try my hardest. Okay, I want to have a tail. It'll be really practical. Well, I don't know how that happened, but it happened, and they continue to evolve, and that creature deserves all the glory because it evolved itself into a human being. I know it wasn't one creature. I know it wasn't over billions and billions of years. However, that creature evolved and evolved and got better and better, and it takes the glory of God. Secondly, if you don't believe in God, you cannot go to heaven. Doesn't matter if you're a good person. The Bible says, he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. That's what God says. So if somebody does not believe in God because of Darwinian evolution, they burn forever. Now, believing in God is not enough. You've got to believe in Christ as Savior and trust him as your Savior. But if you do not have that, then if they don't believe in God, it makes people not believe in God. So it does matter. First of all, it gives glory to the creature more than the creator. Secondly, it gives people cannot get saved. Nextly, creation and evolution have everything going in completely opposite directions. Creation and evolution have everything going in completely opposite direction, and it affects your worldview completely. See, in the Bible created in Genesis chapter 1, and it's and I won't turn there because of time, but it's Genesis chapter 1, verse 31. It says, and God looked at all that he had made, and behold, it was very good. God made everything in, according to the Bible, in perfection. Nobody died. There was no disease, no sickness, no death, nothing. It was paradise on earth in the Garden of Eden. And then the world began to change. And when sin came, the Bible says, sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. James chapter, I think it's James chapter 1. So sin, James 1:15, sin when it is finished bringeth forth death. So Adam was going to live forever. He sinned, and then death came upon all things in the world. And then creation, the Bible says, was cursed and began to degenerate. And you go from everything is good in paradise to there you go forward, and you go into Revelation where it's the end of mankind, and you see a degenerate, wicked, terrible, falling apart, being destroyed, everything wrong, degenerated mankind and a degenerated, destroyed planet. That's the Bible point of view. You start good, you start with perfection, and you go downhill, and things are degenerating. Evolution has completely opposite. You understand, you started with complete chaos and disorder. You started with nothing. And then all of a sudden you got an explosion. Then you got primordial soup, and you got a little tiny first little life, and then it evolved into this and this and this and this. And eventually now you have Beethoven. You have intelligence, you have creativity, you have art, you have brilliance, you have mathematicians, you have calculus, you have complete order, and it's going uphill. Those are opposite point of view. According to the Bible, the world's going to get worse and worse. According to evolution, logically, the world's going to get better and better. And according to the evolution, and so that permeates everything, because everything is either getting, is degenerating, or everything is getting more complex. See, evolution, there's no getting away from that. Everything is getting more complex in evolution. You're getting more complex. Everything's getting complex. And there are two different points of view. And if evolution is true, we really don't need a redeemer. Men will redeem themselves. The whole world's getting better. Jesus does not need to come back. Everything's fine. Everything's better. And this world is getting better. And mankind has a solution, because we are evolving into better things. And everything's going better. See, there are good times and bad times, but we believe it's always going like this. And you get some bad leaders and good leaders that improve things. You get some revivals that change things, and all those things make a difference. But you know what? Eventually, this world's falling apart. Well, which one of these theories is true? You have paradise or tribulation in the Bible. You had man living forever. And eventually, see, man, when he was born, was going to live forever. And then sin came, and man began to degenerate. And then they lived 600, 700, 800 years, the Bible talks about. And then they lived less. And then they lived less. And then God said, okay, 70 years I'm going to give mankind. Maybe a few more, maybe a few less, but 70 is what I made mankind. And eventually mankind is becoming more falling apart. The slide of Romans 1, and we see in this chapter, it says, if you go to verse 21, because when they knew not God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful. In Romans 1, you find out, man, it's the slide of a culture without God. It starts off with simply not being thankful. And it starts off up here. By the end of this chapter, you see a process of mankind sliding downhill. And eventually you find it being terrible. Verse 30, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful. When America was a very Christian nation, and America was a very godly nation, throughout the much of its history, you had the First Great Awakening in the 1740s and 50s and 60s, and that brought about the foundation of our nation. You had the Second Great Awakening in the 1860s, 1870s, 1880s. When America was a godly nation and had great revival, and upwards of 1900, upwards of 80 people claimed to be born again in America, and a higher percentage of that went to church regularly. When you have a godly nation, you do not have children disobedient to parents. If the child, like I had him behind me in line yesterday, acted like that, if the parents didn't deal with it, the other person in the neighborhood would deal with it. I mean, kids weren't like that. Give me that! And hitting their parents. You ever see the little kids smack their parents and whack at them, and the kids try to stop them? I would say our kids aren't getting better. Do you think the kids in Leave It to Beaver were better now, or the kids on MTV? Which would you rather have as your kids? That's not a tough question, is it? Okay. things go downhill. Things go downhill. We had to look at our culture, look at everything, and look and see, is everything getting more complex or is everything getting more simple? Which one of these theory, which direction are we going in? If you look at all nature, okay, really simple. Your body. Is your body getting more degenerate and falling apart as you get older? Or is your body just naturally getting better and better and better? Let's think now. Let's go to a nursing home, and if things aren't degenerated, they should be some buff people there. Did you know your DNA is deteriorating while you're living? It's losing information. Because everything in the entire universe is deteriorating. It is the laws of thermodynamics, the basic fundamentals of all nature. Everything deteriorates. You go to an evolutionist. Okay, is our sun getting more complex or is it dying? Well, it's dying. Is our planet getting more complex or is it deteriorating? Well, it's deteriorating. Are our bodies getting more complex or deteriorating? As we live, is our DNA getting more complex or is it deteriorating? Are the mountains becoming something more complex or are the mountains just slowly dissolving and crumbling? It doesn't matter what you pick. Our solar system, is it getting more complex or is it over billions of years, will it deteriorate? Will our sun eventually become something more complex or will it burn out? If this pulpit were left here for a billion years, would it evolve into a cool robot or would it dissolve into particles and nothing? What is everything doing in science? What can we observe? Everything we observe, and everybody in science will tell you, we're evolving, we're becoming more complex, information is increasing. Okay, what's happening? Everything's decreasing. Ding, 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 ding. Do we connect the dots here? Either God is true and everything is dissolving and things naturally in a natural state deteriorate without care and without taking care of them. But the natural order of things is things go from order to chaos. My body, if I put it in the grave and I die, my body, they won't open up my casket in 300 years and say, good night, look what he turned into. He is amazing. He turned into a Ferrari. Look at that. He turned into a high-tech computer. No, I will deteriorate. But if you leave it millions and millions of years, it'll eventually become that body. If you leave it for billions and billions of years, it'll become a perfect body and it'll be an improved body because it's going to mutate and turn into something more complex. Our brains deteriorate as we get older. And you see, it is not going to happen that way. If I left this pulpit for millions of years, it's a nice, pretty pulpit right now. It's orderly. And by the way, if you look at this pulpit, you say, somebody designed that. Wouldn't you? You would look at that in this pulpit as you left it for a billion years and you said, okay, we're going to leave it for a billion years. Let's see if it evolves into something more complex. I would, if I could live for billions of years, I would put a whole bunch of money that is not going to become anything more complex than it is. And if I took a slug and left that slug there for billions of years, it's not going to become anything more complex than it is. Things deteriorate. What do we see in there? See, mutations are bad. They say, well, things mutated may become more complicated through the mutations. I'll bring you in the next couple weeks, I'll bring you a great article on mutations. It is so funny because it's so logical when you learn to think logically. It's about Chernobyl. You all know what Chernobyl is? It was a nuclear power plant in Russia that blew up. That blew up and let radiation everywhere. Killed a lot more people than they end up saying. And there's a town that was near Chernobyl. And in that town, they got zapped. They didn't die, but they got a ton of the radiation. And you know what it did? It mutated their DNA. That's exactly what the evolution will tell you that made the amoeba become a human. It got mutated, as DNA did, and became more complex. It mutated again, became more complex. It mutated again, became more complex. Okay. These people's DNA got mutated near Chernobyl, and it didn't improve them.
You know what it did to them? See, they should just take a bunch of x-rays of pregnant women because the mutations will make them better. Your baby become super baby if you get enough x-rays and mutate that baby enough. No, mutations are bad. And every single child born for the next, I don't remember how many years, in that town, every child born was born with half of a left arm. Every single child. Russia, they went to the government and said, hey, all these children are born mutated. And the Russian government, this is old Russia, they said, that is a coincidence. It has nothing to do with Chernobyl. And every single kid had half a left arm. And because they were mutated, and when you get mutated, if you go and get a bunch of radiation in a pregnant woman, the baby is not going to improve because mutations are always bad. If you talk to some scientists who really, 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 really want evolution to be true, what they'll tell you is they say, no, there are occasional mutations that are good, but are they common? Well, no, they're not common, but sometimes it happens, and if you give it billions and billions of years, those occasional one out of every 100 mutations, which most people don't believe mutations are ever good, but if you get enough of those mutations, eventually it'll become more complex. I remember a kid telling me this. I was witness to a kid who believed in evolution, and he said no. He said they mutated, and the mutations are good sometimes. I said, are they good most of the time? He said, well, no. I said, so if somebody gets zapped with radiation and their DNA gets mutated, most of the time it's a bad thing, right? Yeah, but you never know. Anything could happen. And occasionally, once in a long, long while, they are good. I said, okay, but if the tremendous amount of mutations are bad, how did we go uphill, not downhill? And I said, let me illustrate this to you. I'm in a river, and the river's flowing downstream. But in certain spots of that river, there's a little swirl, and it goes upstream. Okay? So occasionally, the water goes upstream. Follow me? If I throw a stick in the river, is it going to end up at the top of the river or at the bottom of the river? Well, you never know, because sometimes, occasionally, it goes upstream. Okay? But most of the time, it goes downstream, right? Yeah. And so will it go all the way to the top of the river? No. And in evolution, Sidran tells you that through mutations, we went from a little single-cell critter all the way up to us today, who can think and reason, have souls, and can write and create and do all kinds of brilliant things, yet mutations are almost always bad. Which way are we going? See, we believe that in the end, this world's going to be a disaster. And God will have to make a new heaven and a new earth. For the old heaven and the old earth are passed away because things are going downhill. Everything in nature tells us that. The laws of science tell us that things deteriorate and become less complex. The sun will never become something more complex than it is now. It's a different point of view, and it's a different worldview, and it shows a big difference. Number four... the reason creation, and by the way, I want you to be able to learn these things so you can show out of the Word of God these things and so you can defend the faith, because it determines how we look at man. Let's go to Psalms 139. This is very, very, very important because it's a different point of view in how you look at mankind, Psalms 139. See, one point of view looks at you and me and everybody as an accident. There's no debating that. Evolution says you are an accident of random chance. You are the result of mutations from a little mud-dwelling critter, a single cell, a nothing. And you, by random chance, are here, and we are all by random chance here, and there is no purpose to us, there is no reason to us. You are just here by total accident. Psalms 139 says something much different. Psalms 139, verse 13. For thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. Fearfully and wonderfully made, not by accident. So if somebody were wicked enough where they would like make fun of somebody because they didn't have a lot of hair, you would know that person has a wrong way of thinking, obviously, because they don't see things are fearfully and wonderfully made. And I'm sure nobody here would be that unspiritual. But we see fearfully and wonderfully made. Amen? And we don't believe in that stuff that things are by accident. See, people are purposed. Fearfully and wonderfully made. Versus, you are a mutation and an accident. And there's no purpose to you being here. And humans aren't precious or any different than an animal. Listen, I have no problem killing Bambi or Bambi's dad or mom. But, I don't kill them for no reason. They just get in the way of where I'm shooting. I don't kill them for no reason. But to eat them, that's fine. But humans are different. Humans are made higher than all animals. They aren't an evolved higher animal. They're special. See, humans need to realize when God created you, He made you for a purpose. You are here for a reason. You matter. You're not a glorified animal, so don't act like one. And you know what? Every single person in the world deserves special treatment. Those, if you look historically, who do not believe humans are anything but a glorified animal, look at the worst. Look at the Soviet Union. They're atheists. Look at Pol Pot, Mao Zedong, Stalin. Look at those who, by the way, Hitler was an avid evolutionist. Why can't you mess with the genetics and do experiments? Why can't you just kill the ones who are undesirable? They're mutated accidents. And they aren't anything special. Just tell you a story about how God cares about people and says you're not an accident. You're there on purpose. And you're made the way... By the way, a lot of people said, I'm just born as an accident. I look this way and I don't look good and I'm not attractive in this. Listen, God made you the way you are for a reason. You might ruin the way you are. There's all kinds of ways you can ruin the way you're designed. You can make yourself a much bigger model than God designed if you eat too many bacon burgers. You can graffiti all of yourself and look like a graffitied wall and say God made me this way, or you can do all kinds of things to make you not look like be like God wants you to be. I understand all that stuff. You can, but you were designed the way you're designed for a reason. You're special and important to God. God has a plan. Just tell you one story about God being a God who cares about people and people are a purpose for Him, and God has a plan for them, and God has a plan for me. There is, Brian asked me about a lady who we haven't seen in probably 2.5-3 years. I haven't seen her at all. She came to our church a while back and then she ended up moving and we never saw her again. And Brian asked me about her yesterday morning, says, where's so-and-so? I said, I haven't seen her in years and years and years. Asked me yesterday morning, haven't seen her at all. Had no idea where she lived, if she's in the state, if she's in prison, if she's in Florida. I didn't know anything. I said, I have no idea, but I sure wish she'd come back to church. Her life was a mess and she was doing great when she was coming to church and her life was good. And when she didn't, her life was a mess. And I said, I don't have any idea. I'm going home yesterday and getting ready to go back to my house and do some work. And I had to buy, of all things, a ream of paper for some things I had to print up. Now, where do you go to buy a ream of paper? Office Max, Office Depot, Staples. Well, I'm driving home and I thought, I don't have time to go to those guys, so I'll go to Fred Meyer's. But right when I get ready to go to Fred Meyer's, just happened where I am, I thought, you know what? I'm going to go to Kmart. Now, that's not really the only place to buy paper is Kmart for your computer, but I thought, I'll go to Kmart, and I literally changed two lanes to go over, don't tell the police, to go a different direction, and went over to Kmart. I went, found a ream of paper, and I bought a ream of paper, I went in the line, and I go through the line, and I look right next to me, I'm in the line here, and the cashier is right here, from right here to right here, I look over, there's that lady. I haven't seen her in 3 years. She's this far from me. I called her name and said, hey, how you doing? She looks at me and says, oh, wow, it's good to see you. I said, how you doing? Terrible. She started telling me all of her problems right there in line. And of course, people behind her, she was supposed to be working with, she said, I got this going wrong. I'm in trouble with this, and I'm this and this and this. And I took my track. I said, give me a call this week. Let's work on this stuff. Now, I know, well, let's just... luck and chance just happened to be that way. I know. It's a big world, folks. By the way, if I'd have been at the other end of out of the 10 lines that are open, one of the other lines, I wouldn't have seen her. At that store, that time, she wasn't working there when I knew her. She didn't have a job. You see, God has a plan for her. He's going to try to reach her. God put me there because God has a plan for me and because I'm a pastor and God made me a certain way and I'm able to help that lady. God has given me abilities and me certain things where I can help her, and God made me for a special purpose. God made you special. And if you believe in evolution, there's no reason for you. You're just a random circumstance a chance, a blip on the radar that happened, a blip in time, and you just happen to be mutated from a little critter, and there's no purpose to you. But can I tell you something? There is a purpose to you. You were designed. You're special. You're a human being. You have intelligence and brilliance, and God has a plan for your life. You're not a random accident. And these two theories are so much different because in one circumstance, you are just a random chance, accident, mutation. Another thing, you are a fearfully, wonderfully made creation of a designer who loves you and has a plan for you. And that's a big difference. So we've got to go out and defend that we aren't just accidents. We aren't just accidents. We are here for a purpose. You aren't here by accident. So let's go out and defend the faith and defend creation versus evolution and show that in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth and show them, hey, are things deteriorating or getting more complex? It's obvious, and the Bible teaches that, and plus nature and science teaches that. Let's pray. Lord, I pray as we go to the service to follow, Lord, I pray that you would please help us, Lord, to remember these things. And as next week we'll be studying the flood and other scientific things, Lord, and also studying your word and your point of view and showing exactly how, as we really look at true science, not biased science, and a science that looks at the whole picture, we'll always find out that your word is right. And I pray, please, in a great way, you'd help us. And Lord, I also pray as we have the service to follow, you bless this service in a great and powerful way. We need you, and we ask for your power and your blessing. In Jesus' name, amen.